All right. Good morning. You know, one of the things that I find most helpful in life is to just choose to be grateful. Amen? So let's take a moment and just be grateful for a few things. How many of you are grateful that this building has a good air conditioner in it this morning? Wow, this weather in the Bay Area has been... It would have really been a good Sunday to preach on the topic of hell, but I've decided not to do that. Just kidding, because of the weather, it's so hot. That was a terrible joke. I expected laughter there, but you didn't give that to me. So what do you do in these awkward moments? You just laugh and move on. I'm thankful and grateful for our worship team this morning. Grateful for the great job and the heart behind what they do. I'm thankful for Osamu back there running the sound. I'm thankful for Ralph running the slides. And not only running them, but you guys, he creates those as well. And so we thank God for him. Grateful for that. Grateful students are grateful. School's out for the summer. Amen? No? Are y'all grateful for anything this morning other than air conditioning? My goodness, we may have to shift our minds. And I'm grateful for our new friends that are here for the first time today. So we're so glad to have you guys with us. Thank you for being here this morning. We just want you to feel at home and comfortable. If you have questions, if you're not sure what's happening, just let one of us know and we'll be glad to kind of help you through the process. We've all been here for the first time once in our lives as well. So we remember that feeling of like, oh no, what am I doing? Where is everything? So please, please feel free to let us know if there's any way that we can help you and serve you. Here's another thing you can be grateful for. You can be grateful that our pastor will be coming back from vacation and you won't have to hear me every Sunday. So that's something we can be grateful for as well. He and his family are away and we bless them and thankful that they have this weekend away to just be together and enjoy being with family before Hannah goes off to university. We are certainly, you know, sad to see her go, but excited about this transition in her life as well. So pray for them, keep them in mind. And in the meantime, here we go. I want to talk about new things this morning. How many people love getting something new? Anybody love that? Okay, now you're talking with me. You guys remember, I talk with you. I'm not here to make a presentation. I like to get feedback. So thank you for that. I like new things too. So I thought we might play a little game this morning to just find out who really likes new things. This is a little game called Never Have I Ever. So I'm going to put something on the screen. And if you have never done it, give yourself 1 point. If you have done this thing, 0 points for you. And at the end, we'll find out who has the most points and who has the least amount of points. So, kind of understand the rules. These are things you've never done. You only get points if you've never done them. Here's the first one. I've never used a rotary phone. If you've never done that, and I see some of you already asking, what's a rotary phone? Remember in the old days, they had those phones that were like, they had a big circle and you put your finger in zzz, and then it zzz all the way back. That's a rotary phone. If you've never used one of those, give yourself a point. Use a floppy disk. If you've never done that, give yourself a point. You remember what that was, right? Some of you are like, we have no idea. Let's move on. Use a typewriter. Remember the good old days when that ribbon would break and those things were so heavy to move from room to room. If you've never used a typewriter, give yourself a point. If you've never taken photos with a film camera, meaning that you had to get the film developed or you went to a dark room and had it developed, give yourself a point for that. Never taken a photo with a film camera. Listen to music on a CD. If you've never done that, give yourself a point. If you've never listened to a cassette tape, give yourself a point. Never listen to a cassette tape. What about a vinyl record? If you've never listened to one of those, give yourself a point. Now, Ralph wanted me to make sure that we did recognize that these seem to be coming back. I don't know if they're fully back, but maybe they're on their way. If you've never listened to a vinyl record, give yourself a point. Never listen to music on a Walkman. Now, some of you younger people may not have been as cool as us more seasoned people. You had this great set of earphones that were terrible. You could barely hear through them, and this little thing with a cassette tape that goes in it. You guys remember? Anybody remember that? If you've never done that, give yourself a point. What about a boombox? Now, for those who were more bold and courageous, they didn't want the Walkman. They would actually put this radio, this big boombox, on their shoulder and play music as they walked around. It was a lot of fun. If you've never done that, give yourself a point. If you've never watched a video from a VHS tape, give yourself a point. And the most sad day of all was when that VHS tape broke and you no longer had your movie. If you've never listened to an 8-track, you guys know what that is? If you've never listened to one, give yourself a point. Never sent or received a fax. If you've never done that, give yourself a point. If you've never recorded music from the radio to a cassette tape, I remember doing this as a kid, and you had to be ready, because when that song came on, you had to have your fingers ready to push. I think you had to push play and record, right, or something like that at the same time. And you know, we had lots and lots of cassette tapes back then that were missing the first notes of the song because we weren't fast enough. If you've never done that, give yourself a point. All right. If you have never rented a video from a store called Blockbuster, give yourself a point. That was a real store. We actually had to go to a building to get the movie that we were going to watch and then come home and then take it back. And one of my favorite stories about Blockbuster was I was serving in a little town in South Carolina, and I was a youth pastor, and I was just there for like a temporary time, like a summer, and I lived in a room in the church office. The church office was in a house, and they had a bedroom back in this area, and I lived there for the summer. And I remember I had rented some movie from Blockbuster, and I remembered at about 10 o'clock at night, I had not returned that movie, and it was due. Now, you guys remember, if you didn't turn it in on time, you had to pay extra. So I jumped in my car, went out of there, and drove safely but quickly to the Blockbuster to return it, to get it in the box just in time. The very next morning, this older lady that was in part of our church came into the church office and said, "We need to check on the youth pastor. Something's going on." "What are you talking about?" She said, "I was coming home last night, and I looked, and he was getting in his car to go somewhere at 10 o'clock at night. He was pulling out." And of course, she thought I was up to no good. But the funny part of that is I'm thinking, what was she doing out at 10 o'clock at night? Anyway, that's my Blockbuster story. Give yourself a point if you have used dial-up to access the internet. And I'm guessing right now all of you have that sound in your mind. Remember the sound that it used to make when you did? Yes, that's the one. How about a phone book? Give yourself a point if you've never used one. I miss those yellow pages sometimes. How about a point if you've never used a card catalog to find a book in the library? Now, some of you might be thinking, what's a library? No, I'm just kidding. You're not thinking that. I'm sure you've been to the library. But they used to have these great things called card catalogs. We don't have those anymore. Give yourself a point if you have used a paper map to get somewhere. Not talking about the GPS. Now we need a GPS to get from the living room to the kitchen. But back then, we had to look at a map. If you've never owned a dictionary, give yourself a point. If you have never owned a set of encyclopedias, and I don't mean just one, I mean the whole set, give yourself a point. If you've never paid for something by writing a paper check, give yourself a point. If you have ridden in a car without seatbelts, now I don't mean that you've ridden in the car and not put on the seatbelt. I mean the car did not have seatbelts in it. If you've ridden in a car that did not have seatbelts, give yourself a point. If you've drank water from a garden hose and that was a normal part of life for you, if you've never done that, give yourself a point. If you have called the operator to get the time, if you've never done that, give yourself a point. If you've never done that. If you have used a handle to roll the window up and down in your car, if you've never done that. Now, I know now we have these buttons, right? Zzz, and it goes. Well, back in the old day, you had to use a little arm strength, and you had to do this. Remember that? If you've never done that, give yourself a point. And out of those, let's now evaluate how many points out of the 25 questions did you get. So let's do the low number first. How many people in this room, you got 0 points because you've done every single thing on this list? Okay, well, there's a few of us that have done every single one of these. How many of you got 5 or more points? 10 or more points? 20 or more points? 20? How many, guys? How many have you gotten over there? 6. Okay. You guys have more than 20, right? Yes? No? I can't tell. The light's kind of in my eyes here. Congratulations on being young. Cleani, I was not going to say it like that. For the record, that was not my plan. I was not going to call it that way. Because then my next question was going to be, and those of you that got zero, congratulations on being... No, no, we will not accept that. We will say congratulations on being seasoned. Oh, doesn't that sound better? Seasoned. Yeah, a little seasoning. It's a nice thing, right? Well, man, life is always changing, isn't it? And I don't know, sometimes I'm almost shocked because sometimes I look back and I'm like, how did things change so quickly? And in the moment, I didn't realize they were changing so quickly. And then I look back and it's like, wow, suddenly I'm a teacher, and there were many times in a classroom where I would make this hilarious joke with a pop culture reference to something, and they would give me this response. Mr. Hester, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know the commercial from TV. What? You know the thing. What? What? And they would have no idea. Jimmy, this may be a little personal towards you today. He was my student for a while. Did I do that in class with you? Probably, right? Probably I would assume that these people knew what I was talking about, only to find that they would be like, Miss Trester, I'll be like, remember when? They'd say, we weren't alive then. There's nothing to remind you that you're seasoned until someone looks you in the face and says, I wasn't alive then. That's a little painful to hear. But you know what? It's a normal part of life, isn't it? It's a normal part of life that things move on and things change and things are different. You know, we're not listening to CDs, most of us, anymore. We're not rolling up the car with our arms anymore. We're just pushing that little button. The dial-up internet. We thought we were really something back then. Remember how cool that was back in the day? And now suddenly it's like, oh. And I want to talk with you today about a passage of Scripture that comes out of Mark. We read it together yesterday with our English, some of our English learners yesterday. But it just really resonated with me, and I want to just share a few thoughts from it this morning. So let's read from Mark chapter 2, verse 13. It says, then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Okay, follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. You know, we've been doing this series our pastor has on Christ's calling. And one thing we learn immediately is that Christ's calling, a calling from Jesus, always requires something new. That's a part of it. There's always something new. Because when we leave our old life, we have to come into a new life, right? So that's part of it, is leaving behind that old self and walking into a new relationship with Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. It's interesting, this character Matthew, right? Or Levi, some translations call him. He has both names in Scripture. But Levi was a tax collector. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when we think about tax collectors, but when I hear that word, I get stressed out. Because I'm one of those people, can I confess something really bad about me? I'm one of those people that every year I will try, and in my mind, I'm going to get those taxes done in March or February. And then every year, somehow, April 15th rolls around, and I'm in a panic as I try to get all of it done in the matter of just a few days. Now, let's go ahead. We're friends, right? Is there anybody else in this room like me, or you, like, you pathetic person? Okay, I'm not the only one. Whew! I thought I was the only one. It's good to know I'm not alone in that. But tax collectors, that's what comes to our mind. But this is a little bit different, because when we read Scripture, and when we study Scripture, we have to go back and think about the context, right? We have to think about the original people. Like in Jesus' day, in Israel, what was going on? And we remember that at this time in history, the Romans were there. They were the power of the day. They were kind of in control of the region. And so one of the things the Romans did was they got taxes from the people and from the local Jewish people. So one of the ways they did that was they actually had tax booths set up in particular places so that if you were a traveler and you wanted to go from here to there, you had to pay a tax to get through there. I don't know if we have that today. Maybe we call it toll roads. I'm not sure. But that was the idea. So one thing you need to know about the tax collectors is they were typically not the most honest. It was one of those things that when you get a little power, that corrupts. And so these tax collectors, you know, they're supposed to charge you $10 and suddenly you're paying 20. Or you're supposed to pay 20 and suddenly you're paying 40. So there was a lot of disdain, a lot of dislike for the position and the people who were tax collectors. So you can imagine we have this scene where Jesus is walking with his followers, and they kind of going through the crowds, and suddenly they pass by this tax collector's booth. This guy that is disliked, this guy that is not trusted, this guy that is kind of seen as really not a great guy. And Jesus says to him, first of all, it's pretty interesting that Jesus calls him by name. He doesn't say, "Hey, you, stranger in the tax booth." He says, "Levi." And then he goes on to clarify even more. Not any Levi, but Levi, the son of Alphaeus. This is the one I'm talking to, Jesus says. He says, "Follow me and be my disciple." So Levi got up and he followed him. Now, if you can imagine how shocking that moment must have been. Because Levi was giving up kind of a lot to follow, right? He had this job that, yeah, everybody disliked him, but he was getting a lot of money. He was probably more wealthy than most of the people in that area at that time. He probably would be considered, you know, ahead of the pack when it comes to finances and resources, that type of thing. And he was willing to sacrifice that, you know. Okay, people don't like me, no problem. At least I'm maybe getting ahead. Perhaps that was what he was thinking. But Jesus calls him by name. And I don't know exactly how this went down. Mark tells us, you know, he's kind of brief here with this story. But I can only imagine how much that had to be a recognition of something special in Jesus for Matthew, for Levi, to just leave it all behind and to follow. A calling from Jesus will always require something new. You and I, hopefully, if you are in a relationship with Jesus, if you have had a point in your life where he has become your Lord and Savior and you have committed to follow him and be his disciple, hopefully you understand and have experienced that that required something new. Amen? That the old, scripture says, has passed away, the new has come, and now you're walking in a new way of life. Can we just talk, remember when we talked about being grateful? Can we just be grateful for a moment? That for those who are walking with Jesus, aren't you thankful for the newness of life that Jesus has brought into your life? I'm thankful for that because I remember. I have not forgotten what my life was like before entering into a relationship with Jesus. I was lost. I was confused. I was discouraged. There were so many words I could throw in there. And God has absolutely revolutionized and changed my life. And I know many of you have experienced that as well. Following Jesus always requires something new. Let's move on in the story just a little bit further, keeping that in mind. So let's read a little further in Mark. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guest. Nice thing to do, right? Kind of a nice thing. Let's throw a party. Let's invite others. Let's bring Jesus and his disciples into our homes. Many of you have done that. Some of you have invited me to come to your home, and I've been there, and we've had a great time. But look at this. Along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners, is what Mark says when we translate it into English. So you got Jesus, you got his disciples, and you have the tax collector. And I guess it's not strange, because typically when you throw a party, you're going to invite the people that you know, right? You're going to invite the people that you have interactions with. The people that you have friendships with. So who does Matthew or Levi invite? He invites people that are just like him. And he invites other tax collectors. And it's interesting that Mark uses the words, and other disreputable sinners. That sounds harsh, right? Sounds kind of harsh. Let's read on a little further. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. That's interesting, isn't it? There were many people like this who were among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples this question: why does he eat with such scum? New things from God can be disruptive, and they can be hard to accept. This is kind of a disruptive moment, right? So you got Jesus already, who's with his followers, and they're going around, they're preaching the kingdom of God. Miracles are happening. God is doing amazing things. Suddenly, as they cross through this town, Jesus identifies Matthew or Levi by name, calls him, says to follow me. He does. Matthew throws a party where all the others like Matthew show up. And where is Jesus? He's right in the middle of the party. He shows up right there in that space where they are, right? He's with them, and his disciples are with him. And immediately, the religious people, the Pharisees, the people who love to study the law, read the law, enforce the law, make sure you enforce, you were enforcing the law, whatever, they were kind of shocked by this. And you can tell it by the language that Matthew uses. When we call someone in English scum, that's a bad word. That's a word that means the lowest of the low. These are people that are thought of as you know, not good people. But you know, one of the things I'm learning in life is that sometimes when Jesus calls us to new things, he calls us into things that other people don't understand. And they have a hard time accepting, right? They have a hard time accepting it. Because Jesus has been called, and he's called Matthew to follow. So number one, whenever Jesus calls someone to follow him, if I understand scripture correctly, in John 3:16, for God so loved who? The world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, right? That whosoever is an important word there. It doesn't say that the religious should follow. It doesn't say that only those who are thought of as good moral character. It doesn't say those with no past or no shame or no embarrassment. What Jesus says is whosoever, God says in his word, whosoever can come. Matthew or Levi is one of those whosoever, amen? And so he shows up, and I just want to say this, and I thought this was important for us to think about. Because sometimes unintentionally, we have a habit of categorizing people in our minds. We don't mean to do it, but it happens, right? It happens. So for example, we might look at someone and almost immediately begin to make judgments about that person based on what they say, how they look, what they do, how comfortable we feel around them. But we got to be careful with this, because as followers of Jesus, there are going to be times that God is going to call us to new things that are going to be disruptive, and they're going to be hard to accept. In fact, I wonder what the other disciples were thinking when Jesus stops in the middle of town and calls this tax collector, this despised by everybody. Oh, not a tax. I can imagine. Were they saying like, not a tax collector? We're fishermen. Don't get a tax collector. We don't want a tax collector in this group. But Jesus had a plan, and he had a purpose, and there was a new thing happening here. This new thing that was disruptive to the crowd. It was disruptive to the religious leaders. It was disruptive. Now, I'm not the kind of person who believes in disruption for just disruption's sake. So, for example, if I don't like the shirt you're wearing today, I'm not going to come over and throw paint on it. I'm not going to come over and scream, how dare you wear that terrible. I don't believe in that. I don't. I really don't. But I do believe that when we are walking with Jesus in a spirit of humility, when we are following him in a spirit of trying to honor him and love people, there will be times when other people don't understand that calling. God called me to South Korea for about 10 years of my life. I was there for about a 10-year season, and I served. I was in a small church. Well, I say small. It was probably about 200 people. I guess that's not that small, but it felt small because I knew everybody for a long time. And I remember when the Lord gave me that directive, when he spoke to me and kind of nudged me in the path of going to Korea, I thought everybody was going to be so excited and so happy. Not to see me go, but to, I mean, maybe they were, But I thought they would be happy about, oh, this is so great. God is sending you on a purpose with a mission. Hallelujah. Let's get behind that. Let's be excited. Can I be honest with you? There were very few that felt that way. In fact, I got a lot of criticism for that. A lot of people that love Jesus did not love my plan. And they would say things like this to me. Why would you go over there? We got lots of lost people right here that need the gospel. Why would you need to go over there and do that? Or they would say things to me like, you know, are you sure that's a good idea? You're probably not going to like it over there because this is going to be really different. And they would say things to me like, why would you do that? Don't you want to be here with your friends? Why would you leave your friends? You know, there was a lot of negative that came out of that. Because what happened is in that moment of God calling me to that season of ministry, it was disruptive. It was disruptive to what was normal and expected and traditional in my life in that moment. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes when God calls you, sometimes when God's moving and leading, and here's something we also have to accept, God's always moving. God's people have always been a moving people, right? From the beginning of Abraham. Remember, go to a land I'm going to show you, and then, you know, all of that follow. I'll show you when you get there kind of thing. So God's always moving in people's hearts. He's moving all over the world in different nations. So these new things can be disruptive, and sometimes they can be hard to accept. But just because they're disruptive, and just because they can be hard to accept, don't assume that that means it's not from God. We'll talk a little more about that in a minute. All right, let's read on in the story. So when Jesus heard this, when he heard what? Let's go back here. Why does he eat with such scum? That was the question the leaders asked him. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Christ's calling requires a recognition of our sickness. Amen. No one comes to Christ because they were good people. No one comes to Christ because they accomplished a lot. No one comes to Christ out of a feeling of, I'm so good. Instead, we come to Christ out of what Jesus just said there to those people when he said, when we realize we are not the righteous, but that we are the sinners. Everybody loves a hero story. This is why these Marvel movies have done so well. Everybody loves a hero, right? We love that story where there's a hero who overcomes everything, and wow, it's great. We like to think of ourselves as the heroes, you know. If you don't believe it, get into a conflict over something with somebody. Immediately your brain will begin to write the story. Well, I was not doing anything. I was just being myself, and this person attacked me, or they said this. Now, sometimes that might be true. But a lot of times we don't think about things from other people's perspective, right? Of why did they think that? Why did they feel that way? Why did they believe that? But to really enter into this relationship or into this relationship with healing Jesus, there has to be a recognition that we are not the heroes, that we are the sinners, and that God is the hero. And when we can do that, we recognize, as Jesus said, that it's not the healthy people that need the doctor. It's the sick people. We, on our English language ministry that we have on the weekends, we have a student who is a doctor, and she serves in a country in the Middle East as a doctor. And we were laughing because I said, can you imagine if this doctor, you know, was in the hospital and all these sick people were saying, doctor, doctor, please help me. And she was like, I am so sorry. I would love to help you, but I need to go over here to the other side of the room where all the healthy people are and hang out with them. So I'll come back in a few days. I'll see you later. I got to go hang with the healthy people though, because that's where I need to be and spend my time. Like that would be a preposterous idea. We would say, no, doctor, go help the sick, go help the dying, go help the suffering. Those healthy people are okay. They can do it on their own. They're fine. And I think Jesus is onto something there for us to think about as believers today. Do we understand that it's the sick that need the gospel? We have another gentleman in our group who's just learning the Bible for the first time, so he's reading it kind of for the first time. And he made a comment that was so interesting. He said, well, that is so amazing because, I mean, how cool that Jesus was like there and he called Levi by name, and then he could just follow Jesus. And then he said this, he said, wow, I wish it was like that today. I wish Jesus would just come and like come to my city and like call me and I could follow. And part of this was a lack of understanding on his part, because we've only done the Gospel of Luke together and now we're doing the Gospel of Mark. So we haven't gotten to Acts yet, where we talk about the Holy Spirit and the arrival of the Holy Spirit and all of that. We'll get there. And I tried to talk a little bit about it in that moment with him. But isn't it amazing that Jesus is still calling people today? And he's doing it through many ways, but one of his primary tools of doing that is through his church. Through people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who recognize that God has called them to go take the beautiful message of hope of the gospel to the sick, not just to hang out with the healthy. Now, we need the healthy. We need that in our lives. We need that to be part of our experience. We need to be around those that are healthy. We need to love one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to empower one another. But we also have to remember that we've not been called to isolate ourselves from the sick. But God has called us, you know, the Great Commission, if you translate it, it literally says, as you are going. Not sit around and then maybe someday go, but as you are going. And I imagine that to mean, as I'm going where? Through life. As I am going to the grocery store. As I am going to this building this morning. As I am going to the park. As I'm going to my job. As I'm going to wherever when I take a trip somewhere. The idea being that you, my friends, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the beautiful gift to go to those who need hope, who need encouragement, and you have the chance to sit down with them and say, hey, Jesus has done this in my life. I'd love to tell you how he can change yours, how you can follow him. The healthy, they don't need the doctor, but the sick do. And Jesus has come for those who don't think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I don't know how you're feeling right now in this moment as you think about this, but I got some really good news for you. Maybe you're sitting there today thinking, I don't really feel righteous at all. In fact, I feel condemned. I feel broken. I feel sad. I feel ashamed. I feel lonely. I don't know how you would fill in the blank with that kind of idea. But I just want to encourage you and remind you today that Jesus is calling you too. And that there is hope in him, and there is transformation in him. And if you're one of those people, you're in exactly the right spot for God to do a work in your heart. Because as long as we try to wear the mask of righteousness, the mask of we always got it all together, the mask of, you know, everything is perfect in my world, I don't need anything, pretty hard to come into the doctor when you feel that healthy. But when you realize, my friends, that you are sick. Have you ever been so sick you were glad to get to a doctor? Maybe some of you have experienced that before. You were glad to get to medical help. This is the same kind of thing that Jesus is doing spiritually in us. When we get so sick of this world, so sick of ourselves even, Jesus is standing there with open arms to say, come, I'm calling you by name. Come follow me. And not just follow me, but now I'm going to take you and use you among those same people you used to run with. And now I'm going to let them know that there's hope, that there can be a change from sick to healthy. The last part of this scripture says this. Once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do? Jesus replied, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can fast while the groom is with them. They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday, the groom will be taken away from them, and they will fast. Then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth. Now, I'm not one of these people that knows clothing real well. I mean, I got clothing with lots of holes in it. Now, I don't walk around and when I got those holes in my jeans and say, oh, look how holy I am. I don't do that. I try not to do that. But maybe some of you do. That was a joke. You were supposed to laugh at that. Thank you. Thank you. It's so helpful. I can tell you that from what I've learned, apparently you need that cloth to be kind of pre-shrunk or whatever when you use it as a patch on the clothing. Because if you don't, apparently it tears away. It kind of doesn't hold. It kind of messes up the whole thing. So that's one of the illustrations that Jesus is giving there. And then he says this one. Leaving a bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins. And the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Now, I don't know a lot about wineskins. This is kind of an old thing, but it was, from what I've understood and studied, it was kind of like a bag, kind of almost between a bag and a bottle that they would carry the wine in. And, you know, the skins were kind of the container for the wine. So apparently, if you had a wineskin that was old, the older it got, the more it had been used, it would get kind of brittle. And so if you poured that new wine in, and then all this oxidation, all this stuff takes place, suddenly that wineskin can burst, it can break, it can, you know, you got a hole and now the wine is dripping out, all of that. But he says you got to put the new wine in the new wineskins. As I've prayed and as I've been thinking about this, one of the things that I'm aware of in myself is I'm one of these people that I'm very nostalgic. Anybody else kind of nostalgic? You love to think back on like things in the past and, oh, I can remember when I was growing up in church, we would sing this or we would do that. Or when I was a child, we'd have this event or that event. Even Hollywood has figured this out, right? Because how many like remakes are there of movies or TV shows that were like popular 10, 20, 30 years ago? And now Hollywood's kind of remake them, trying to get that, you know, going again. But when I think about God's work through us and among us, if we're going to really be useful to the kingdom, we can't bank on everything being done in a way that makes us feel nostalgic or happy or pleased. I can tell you I'm so grateful for our worship team, but can I be like super honest with you? This is a hard job. Leading a worship team is a hard job. Cleone, can I get at least an amen from you on that? Because I can guarantee you one thing from leading music in churches, no matter what you choose, there will always be somebody who likes what you do, and there will always be somebody who says, ooh, don't like that, wish you wouldn't do that. We all feel that. It's a normal feeling, right? Now, some people feel very empowered to let you know that. They also want to let you know, those kind of moments. But I can tell you this, when I step back from the emotion of it, when I step back from the old wineskin of feeling like it needs to be how it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, back when I was two, just kidding, back when I was younger, I step back and I say, what did I love when I was young? Did it match up with what the older people of my time loved? Not necessarily. And then I think, so maybe it's not about the style. Maybe me feeling like it needs to be a certain style is an old wineskin. Maybe our younger people, maybe God is moving and working in them through a different song. So I really believe, and you can disagree with me, but I'm like, I don't think God has to use my songs for my generation to reach a new generation. Because I'm not singing the songs they sang in Israel in Jesus' time. I'm not speaking only Hebrew the way that or Greek or Aramaic or whatever, the way that was going on there. And so maybe it's possible that God can take a new wineskin and pour his Holy Spirit into it and move among a different generation of people. Maybe, just maybe, church doesn't have to look and be the way that I think it ought to be. Because I love it when we have this many songs and then we pray at this point in the service and then we do this at another point. But maybe, just maybe, maybe I'm holding on to an old wineskin. And maybe, just maybe, God wants to move in a different direction. Now, let me be clear. I'm not talking about anything that is not biblical. I'm not talking about things that are clearly not taught in the Word of God. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about the likes and the preferences and the things that please me and that I enjoy. Now, we all do this. Amen? We all do it. We like some songs more than others. We like some speaking styles more than others. Some of us are thrilled at the thought of Jimmy having a concert up here. Some of us are like, oh boy, that's young people's music. Maybe that's what we're thinking. But you know, maybe part of this new and different, we don't know what's going to happen in Jimmy's concert. What if some young people come because they're attracted to that kind of music? And what if suddenly we see them on a Sunday morning here? And we begin to invest in relationships with them. And we begin to love them. And we begin to say, hey, I don't know you. I don't know your story. I don't know your background. But in this place, you can come here and connect with God, and we'll be with you in the process. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe. I'm not in the Bible study that happens in the back on Sunday mornings because I'm usually out here with a worship team. But maybe, just maybe, something going on there is going to meet a need. It's going to be a need that God is meeting and working through that. Let's not force a tradition to you know, it's kind of like this. Whether you like this carpet brown, red, or blue, whatever is happening here, as long as it's focused on Jesus, it doesn't matter what color this carpet is. Whether we are having groups of like 200 people show up or 20, I'd rather have 20 that are having a genuine encounter with God than to try to have a great, huge 200 people that are just coming for the sake of coming to a church. Amen? And aren't you thankful? It's funny, because another thing, and I'm sorry that I talk about the worship team a lot, but it's kind of where I spend a lot of time, so a lot of my stories come out of there. But I've been asked by people before. They will say, oh, the worship team is so interesting. And I'm like, well, what do you mean about that? They said, I want to know how you did that. And I'm like, okay, tell me what you mean. And they say, well, you have you and Carl and Jimmy that are, Caucasian Americans. Then you have this like Brazilian family that's involved. And then you have like a couple of people from Haiti, originally from Haiti, that are part of your team. They're not here today, but they're part of our team. We've had a young man from Nigeria there. We have different ages. We have the Philippines represented. We have all this diversity of people up here. And I've actually had people come to me and say, how did you do that? How did you choose these people? How did you reach out and get people from these different backgrounds and cultures to be part of this? And you know, I have to tell them honestly, you know what the answer is? I did not. I did nothing. I did not choose this. I did not put an ad in the paper that said, please, looking for a Brazilian family to come join our worship team. I didn't send a telegram, or not a telegram. Telegram is that app. That's why that came to my mind. Telegram the app. Y'all are like, talk about old telegram sending guy. But I'm talking about, I didn't get on Telegram and send it to my Filipino friends and say, please, you know anybody in America that has Philippine connections that you can come and be part of this? No. Scott has a lot of experience in Nigeria. I didn't go to Scott and say, hey, Scott, go find a Nigerian and see if he can be part of our worship team. I didn't do any of that. Do you know why we have the team that we have? Because we decided we weren't going to hold on to an old wineskin. The old wineskin, in my mind, might have been, we need a team that likes the same music, does the same stuff, has the same talents, all of that might have been part of it. But I believe because we let that stuff go and we open up our hands and our heart and we say, Jesus, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who you bring in. And I don't mean I don't care, but you know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't matter to me the background, the culture, the person. What matters to me is bring a team together that can love you, can grow together and with you, and can be used to minister to the people. That was my prayer, and that is our prayer. And you know what God said? Here comes the new wine. Think about the new people that God has brought into our church. Wasn't a plan, wasn't a strategy. It was us letting go. Now, all of that to say, I think Living Hope has done a great job of this. I'll say that up front, because our congregation is quite diverse with people here. But I will say this, we can't ever get stagnant in that. Because what may be today, God may want to do something different tomorrow. And there may be people that we're not reaching today that God may have for us to reach tomorrow. So with that calling of Levi, when we think about this wineskins, may I encourage you today in your own life, in our church, all of us together, to really have that heart that God is always going to be moving and doing new things. That in that process of doing new things, sometimes it's going to be disruptive, and sometimes it's going to, other people are not going to understand what God is doing. There's going to be times where we have to stop and recognize that it's the sick that we've been called to minister to, that God is calling you to be healthy so that you can minister to the sick. And we want to be a place where anybody can come through that door and find the love and mercy of Jesus in this place with us. And then finally, we got to prepare our hearts. And we do that by getting to a place where we say, Jesus, whatever you want to do, the most important thing is not me. The most important thing is not my wants and wishes. The most important thing is that people come into relationship with you and you use your church to share the gospel and to minister. Let's join our hearts in that today and embrace that. Christ is calling, and sometimes he's calling us to new things. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us to new things. Thank you that the old has passed, the new has come, and the new is still coming. So, Lord, I just pray that you would move in our hearts. That, Lord, even in the times and seasons of ministry that are consistent, meaning, Lord, maybe you've called us to a location or called us to a people group, and you're going to have us there 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it may be. Even in that, help us to be open to new ways that you want to work within our ministries and in our hearts and in our minds. Forgive us, Lord, when we think we've got it all figured out. Forgive us when we think we are in control and that we are the righteous ones. Lord, this is not my church. This is not any particular person's church. This is your church, Jesus. You are the one who bled and died for it. So, Lord, would you help us to open our minds to creative ways of ministry? Would you open our hearts to love those that feel the least amount of love? Lord, would you help us to be a place where people can truly, truly find you? And Lord, may you use us both in this building and out as we go forth with the beautiful message of the gospel. And may we do it all being grateful for the work that you have done. Lord, release us from needing or wanting to feel things or be in control of things. And instead, Jesus, may we stand back and say, help us, Lord. Help us to bless the next generation. Help us to bless the foreigner. Help us to bless those that are marginalized. Help us to be a blessing to those that are far so that they can come near to you. And I pray all of it in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.